Hey, Startup Hustle listeners, before we get into today's episode, I've got some exciting news to share. If you've enjoyed the insights and stories here at Startup Hustle, you're going to love what we have in store at our brand new podcast called Product Driven. I've always described myself as a product guy first, entrepreneur, software engineer, but really a product guy. I love building products. Many people struggle, though, with how to take a product idea and build a tech product, while software engineers struggle to understand the business side of things and they just don't see the big picture. My new podcast, Product Driven, is about that gap between business and the tech side of building software. It's designed for startup founders, tech leaders, software engineers, and anyone who loves tech and startups. Thank you for being part of this community. Enjoy this episode of Startup Hustle, and please subscribe to Product Driven in your podcast app, and you can also check it out on YouTube. Thank you so much.
And we're back for another episode of Startup Hustle, a podcast for entrepreneurs by entrepreneurs. If you want to start, own, or build a business, then you're in the right place. We bring you the real truth about what it's like to take something from concept to launch. From growth, innovation, experience, failing, or winning big, we've got you covered. So let's get down to business with another episode of Startup Hustle, brought to you by Fullscale.io.
What's up, hustlers? It's Andrew Morgans, your host, founder of Marknology, here on Startup Hustle today. Before I welcome today's guest, let's give a shout out to our sponsor for today's episode, Fullscale.io, helping you build software teams quickly and affordably. I'm super excited about today's guest because I've got quite a bit of experience, even just this last year, kind of dealing in her space and her industry. And I'm anxious to hear, even from the other side of the world, what's going on. And getting some insights as far as e-commerce is going. But we're going to talk today. Today's title is called Disrupting a Product Industry. And today's guest is Andrea Lisbona. Welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me.
Of course. I'm really excited to talk about your brand. And, you talked about a lot of growth this year and having to focus on one area. And before we talk about that and what that means in the real world, let's talk a little bit about your history. I'd love to start the episodes before we just jump right into business, getting to know you a little bit better for anyone that's listening. You're in the industry now. Let's start, kind of when you came into e-commerce or how you came into this. Let's just get a little bit of your story.
Sure. So it started 10 years ago. I was 24 years old, had recently graduated from university, and my goal was, I was born and raised in an entrepreneurial family, so I always wanted to create something that could change people's life. So 10 years ago, I came 6 months to the US, I went to study to USC, and I came across this product called hand sanitizer, which it wasn't pretty popular in Europe back then. And I was shocked that a product that plays such a key role in everyone's life, if you think last year, prior to the COVID, I used to take 3 flights a week, 10 Ubers a day, taking all the time interaction with humans and not having water and soap available all the time. Mm-hmm. And so hand sanitizer was that product on the go that helps you to stay clean, healthy. 80% of infectious diseases is spread through hands. So not only past year with the pandemic, but prior to that, every time that you fall sick,
right,
it's always because it enters through your hands. So I was surprised that a product that plays such a key role in people's lives was commoditized. It had a terrible experience. It's a very goopy, sticky experience. It smells like absolute vodka. And how is it possible that a product that can change everyone's lives into better was so terrible in the user experience? So our goal was to become the Apples and the Nespresso of this industry, taking a commoditized industry that had been for 20 years without any innovation and elevating it to a ritual that you look for. So instead of jumping right into creating a product, we took the first 5 years of our adventure as entrepreneurs distributing hand sanitizer solutions. And the reason why we did it is because sometimes as entrepreneurs, we have false realities, false perceptions of users. Sure, they need that, or businesses for sure, they would like to have a smart hand sanitizer. Mm-hmm. So it was a very good learning experience. We learned both from business standpoint to individual standpoint. Like, we talk with nurses with heavy users of hand sanitizers, and they would all sell the same. Like, my skin is stripped, like I have to carry a hand cream with me all of the time. And with businesses, it was the same. They were like, there's no technology in it. Like, whenever users want to use our sanitizer, dispensers are always empty. Right. So after that, we were located back then in Barcelona, which I was born. We launched our series of products. We got a lot of attention, and then a multinational manufacturer reaches out. They were interested in what we were doing, and they basically invested on the company, and we decided to move to the US. The reason why we moved to the US is because 30% of the global demand of hand sanitizers was here. So it was a more mature market in Europe, was an early stage market for hand sanitizers. Mm-hmm. And we moved here in July 2018, so a year and a half ago. We took those 2 years to develop a fully compliant product, FDA compliant formulation. And we were going to launch our e-commerce in December 2018, but prior to that, in order to get some market validation, we did a Kickstarter campaign, which was a very entertaining adventure because we had no expectation into that. And we were fully funded in 24 hours. We ended up being 450% funded in a month. And after that, we basically started building the community that basically pushed Touchland to where it is today. We are very popular on social media. We have a very strong community on Instagram, on TikTok, which we recently launched this year. Hit like million views of viral videos in TikTok. And that's a little bit about our experience and how we got into the US. We are now living in Miami. And this year has been crazy, but the company in 2019 did really good. And this year we grew 1,200%, which sets us for a 2021 of a structure and innovations and challenges that we cannot wait.
Well, that's an interesting background and a journey. I think some of that might have been broken up just a little bit with some lag. So I might ask a couple of questions just to bring some of that story back to us. Can you hear me okay?
Yeah, perfect. Yes. Can you hear me? Yes. Can you hear me?
Just a second. For anyone that's still with us, hang in there. We've got a little bit of lag going on. I want to make sure we get her story. And get to the details of this. I think it's going to be a blazing industry, and someone that's on the foreground of it, the forefront, so to speak, would love to see kind of what that looks like for a company that's successful. I've definitely been reached out to by so many companies trying to launch in this space, but because of 2020 and trying to get access to the PPP industry that's exploding. But what about a company that was there, before the pandemic and how that was looking? Let's see. I'm thinking about ways we can get ourselves caught up here. Andrea, are you able to hear what I'm saying?
Perfect. Yeah.
Okay. So I think we're just having a little bit of video lag. I grew up in Africa, actually. And I think anyone that's grown up in a third world country, or at least where soap and water is not so readily available, you grow accustomed to having hand sanitizer or wipes or things like that, that you, you're not going to get, you're not used to getting a sink, you bring your own stuff with you, kind of thing. And so, I always appreciated the US for having those kinds of things, not just when we were abroad, but, the access to water and, these kind of like blessings to just have hygiene so readily available is something that's often overlooked, but definitely is on the forefront of everyone's minds now that we're dealing with, hand hygiene and things like that being the most important thing to protecting us from, the dreaded COVID-19. Let's talk a little bit about your hand sanitizer, Touchland. I know there's a smart component. You know, let's talk about some of that and, you know, what set you guys up to be apart from everybody else that's doing hand sanitizer, and, you know, why you guys have seen 1,000% growth, like what happened there outside of, you know, the pandemic. So that's a kind of a 3-part question. But you know, what's the smart element, and, you know, what kind of separates you guys from the competition?
Yeah. So, we have 2 product lines. We have the personal one, which is the Power Mist. And again, when we disrupted an industry and we disrupted the form factor of the product, like when we launched this, the first product was in 2014. So we were the first one to launch in a mist factor. Okay. So if you think about like how you apply gel and foam from the personal side, it's a goopy experience. It falls through the fingers and it's very sticky. So when we launched that, that was the design approach that we came with. Then our formula, when we design our formula, when you take a look at the label of hand sanitizers, you will read 20 ingredients that sound very chemical. You don't really know what you're putting into your skin. So what we did was come up with a very simple, clean, vegan formulation with very carefully selected ingredients that play a key role into the skincare forward benefit of the formula. So our formula is hydrating, it's softening, it leaves like velvet feeling in your hands, and it's fast absorbing, so no sticky feeling in it. And then the third element onto this is the experience. Like every time that you use this, they all come with like elevated scents. So we get rid of the tequila smell of hand sanitizer. And what's most cool about it is that, again, everyone just like wants to sanitize their hands. That was the first goal on why we started in 2010. How do we make this cool? How do we make sure that people look forward to sanitize their hands rather than they have to sanitize their hands? And
No, I'm saying I was just going to jump in that I can totally relate as someone that's redheaded. I grew up in Africa where it's very hot and I hated using sunscreen. It's kind of the same approach, right? It was that lotiony, thick, like no one liked, I didn't like putting it on even though it was saving my skin, you know, in the long run. And then they came out with the mist, right? They came out with the ability to spray it on and it's not goopy. It's, you know, sometimes you're like, did I put enough on? I'm not even sure. Whereas like growing up as a kid, I was even more white than I am now, you know? No, I'm getting excited just hearing about it. And I didn't know about Touchland, you know, prior to the show, at least here in the Midwest. But now I'm where do I get one? You know, I've got touchland.com up on the site. For anyone that's here on the stream, I'll have those notes in the bottom in case anyone kind of want to look at what she's holding up. But can you hold that just a little bit closer to the camera?
Yeah. No?
Yeah, just no, I can't see it, but the one, there we go.
Awesome. It's very cool. And then we have the business and home dispenser, which is the first smart hand sanitizer dispensers. Not only, again, follows our like approach to design and experience, like with our formulas and our like minimal designs for the dispenser, but also we implemented like connectivity via Wi-Fi. So it basically connects you to an app that basically allows you to see the refill and battery levels. But at the same time, and one topic that you touched, which is what we've been working for 10 years, is water scarcity. In 2025, 2/3 of the population will not have access to water and soap. And every time that you wash your hands with water and soap, you use 2 liters of water. And so what we wanted to do is create a solution that, again, when you read on the CDC and the recommendations, they tell you if your hands are not visibly dirty, it's actually more sustainable and efficient to sanitize your hands with like a alcohol-based hand sanitizer. So what we want to do is just like make sure that you can save water. If you can save water with sanitizing your hands, just you can see in the metrics and how you're making that impact into the world. And so the app basically allows you to see every month how much water you save by sanitizing with Touchland versus washing your hands with water and soap.
I love that. It, you know, so many things come to mind, like technologies that are out. I can't imagine that this doesn't exist already. But, you know, the drinking fountains at the gym that, you know, you're not only drinking water, which you're like excited to be hitting your daily goals of water as you're up there at the drinking fountain, but you're seeing how many plastic bottles you've saved. And it feels, you know, there's this feeling of contributing a little bit by using a, you know, a reusable bottle. Same thing with water. So I was a server for a long time through college, bartender, server. And each time you go into the back of the house, you have to wash your hands, right? For 10 to 15 seconds. Maybe it's actually 30. I think it might be, I don't know. It's at least like,
it's a long time, yeah.
You're supposed to say your ABCs a couple of times. So, but your hands get raw. They get raw to the point of washing your hands becomes painful because your hands are just so dry from the amount of times you've washed them. Think of all of the people in the service industry, even here in the US, you know, we're talking about thousands and thousands of people. We're going to have cleaner, better hygiene if people aren't avoiding things because it's not a bad experience in that way.
Exactly. That was our goal.
That's super cool. And then double down by fixing the problem of, we always want to have these in our businesses, but we're running out or it's never stocked or, you know, it's not working. So
it's about the experience. Yeah.
I love that. Where do you guys have a bigger or smaller presence, or is it just kind of like, have you guys grown through e-commerce, or was it more like you took over kind of Miami or Florida and expanded from there?
When we launched in December 2018, we started with e-commerce in the US. So we serve across the US to everywhere. Like when you see the map on Shopify, you're selling everywhere. Then we did a retail partnership, which is very exciting because it allows you to get on a discovery platform from someone else's. And one other way that we disrupted hand sanitizer industry is that the easiest way would have been that sell in pharmacies. But instead of that, because we wanted to create something that you want to be proud of, that you want to be bragging about it, we said, okay, we're going to sell in all the fashion and beauty retailers in the US. It has to be a lifestyle accessory. It has to be like next to your keys and your iPhone. So we started with Urban Outfitters, Nordstrom, Bloomingdale's. We launched in Ulta in 1,200 doors before the COVID. We were sold out within days. So the retail expansion has been incredible and a great journey. And then we have the B2B business, which we've been very lucky, and we've been able to partner with great brands such as Equinox, SoulCycle, Sweetgreen, Standard Hotels, Four Seasons, like almost every category leader, that when they had to take a decision, especially during the COVID, most of these businesses never had a hand sanitizer.
Right.
And they had to take a decision. Do we go for like what's like the commodity in the industry, or do we think about everything as a brand? And we want to make sure that the election that we do on their hygiene and the experience in store is aligned with our brand. And when they looked into the market again, Touchland was really the company that changed the way hand sanitizers were thought for 20 years.
No, I love it. And it's a completely unique look. Like, I mean, I'm just becoming aware of it. And I've been helping brands, launch sanitizers, I think, with different ingredients, but rarely, a whole new method and way of thinking about it in general. I know that, we talked briefly before the show on Amazon. You said that you guys launched there, but as things grew, you just had to choose one and focus there. And as many times that's the case when you're an entrepreneur, Amazon has been a massive channel for PPE and hand sanitizer. And I know for a fact that, at least earlier in the year, through summer, you could simply sell just by being there. You didn't have to have a great product or anything like that. You were selling just by being online. And Amazon did their best to kind of like throttle, the brands that were coming up in that space as far as being able to launch their products and things like that. Is Amazon in your future or for now you're saying?
Sure. I think like obviously the first year we grew 500%. The last year we grew 1,200%. So I've been dedicating 90% of my time to supply chain, which is not what I really like to do. I like to dedicate my time to product innovation and all of that. But again, when you're experiencing this massive growth, like you really need to ensure that you maximize product availability. And again, one of the experiences that we had on during the COVID is that and it's like quite an anecdote, we were fully sold out March 5th. So right in the beginning of the pandemic, and as an entrepreneur, you're put into challenging situations. And I think this was top three in my life as an entrepreneur, like, what do we do? And all the customers that trusted us for like so many years, they were like, now that we need you, you're not here. So having had the experience with Kickstarter, I think what the biggest fear and what the error of many companies had is that there were so many opportunistic hand sanitizer companies just coming in, investing millions and factories. And it was just like crazy. And in our case, like, again, we're not thinking short term. Like,
right.
What we are living right now, it's very unfortunate. Like, our goal is medium and long term. So what we try to do is, like, how do we size the demand? And again, one of our biggest values is transparency. I've always been a believer that it takes a lifetime to build trust and 1 second to lose it, especially for a brand that is community driven. So in the beginning of the pandemic, we said, okay, let's do a pre-order campaign. We're going to be fully transparent. It's going to be 8 weeks delivery date, because we were obviously like growing capacity and everything. And we had no expectation, to be honest. Like, if you want a product during the pandemic, you're going to just buy whatever you find. Surprise to us, we launched a pre-order, and I think it was overnight, we grew like 1,200%. Incredible. But on top of that, during these 3 weeks, like, we got like 34,000 people on a wait list.
Oh my God.
So, which is like, if you think about it, everyone said like for a hand sanitizer, but that's the thing, like, people did not see touch on a hand sanitizer. Like, if you were looking for a hand sanitizer, why would you pre-order and wait 8 weeks? They were clearly trusting a brand, not the product.
No, so, I, and the, you know, the lifestyle approach to it that we both mentioned as well, you know, there's some relatability in my own company, Marknology. I'm going on my 9th year, you know, working in this space. Marknology turned 7 this year. I've been focused on Amazon and e-commerce for a long time. And, you know, telling brands about e-commerce and Amazon. And, you know, the pandemic, as much as it's helped hand sanitizer, has helped my business grow as well. And, you know, e-commerce in general, I think everyone around the world has ordered, you know, that has access to a computer and internet, has ordered something offline, you know, now. And so it's kind of catapulted us forward in regards to, you know, people paying attention to this space, and, you know, agencies of IPO that are in the Amazon space. I say all that to say that medium and that long game, you know. And so being in a position, we're not here to just be opportunistic and now I'm helping brands on Amazon. This is something we've been doing a long time and had a passion for, you know, way before this. We had a vision for it. And, you know, how do we remain here, you know, with agencies popping up all over the place in my space? You know, the thing to hang our hat on is, let's just continue to do quality work and be as available as possible. You know, and ready to grow. And so it was a good year. It was a hard year. You know, I don't think we signed a new brand till August or September, it feels like. And usually it's like, it's been year round for, you know, several years in a row. And then there was a huge push, I feel like, after the PPP loans and different things, and brands were like, we need to be on Amazon. But I think that's what you have to do for any founders out there listening. You know, there is opportunity in the short term, you know, that you can seize at times, and, you know, encourage businesses that had to pivot to move into that space. But as someone that's always thinking long game, you know, it was what, okay, how do I not get caught up in what everyone else is doing right now? How do I settle down and really think about where I'm trying to go when all of this is past, and how I, you know, how we want to grow during this time, and what can we do, in the same way that you're focusing on logistics? It's what has to be done, you know? And so a lot of 2020 for me was, you know, getting back into the trenches, and, you know, I've got a team now. But it was, you know, me alongside with them, just like digging holes, you know. So I definitely understand that when things are growing, and you've got a vision, that you just have to put your focus, like, you know, right where you're needed, and put everything else on pause.
Yeah, don't get distracted. Yeah,
exactly. And, you know, if you have a great product, you know, people pull patients out of nowhere, right? It's kind of crazy. So, you know, it's great to have a great relationship with them. You said being community driven, having a good relationship with your people, them understanding that we're in a pandemic, you know, and there's going to be some people that are like, well, why can't you help me? In the same way that I had to turn away some people, you know, that were under our fees, or, you know, I can only say yes to so many. And so, you know, you have to be, you know, just careful and try to be transparent and be like, hey, this is what's going on. You know, we're 1, 2, 3 days behind. We're in a service-based industry. You know, we're a couple days behind trying to keep up, you know, and just be transparent and get through it.
Exactly. Yeah.
Where do you
feel like- just play with your card again. Like sometimes you have to be optimistic and play with the cards that you've been given, because again, like this, what happened last year just showed like how much things can change from the outside, from an external factor that completely shut down everything that you gave for granted for the last, since I was born. So.
Right. It's, I mean, it's a cliche saying, but I feel like cliche sayings are cliche for a reason, you know, and it's like everyone has a plan for their business or their career or their goals until they get punched in the face. And life has a way of doing that. And for me, as someone that grew up in an African type of environment, it's very much like go with the flow, because your plans don't really matter. All of a sudden there might be a cart in the middle of the road that's not moving, or rains that you can't get through, or the electricity goes down, or you're just so used to just like figuring it out as it happens.
Exactly.
That I feel like I've been blessed, kind of like I wasn't born into an entrepreneurial family. It was a missionary family, but very much entrepreneurial as well in regards to, you know, making do with little or just being able to adapt. And I really do feel like one of the strongest skills we can have is the pivot and just being ready to take whatever comes and, you know, make the best of that. And, you know, you could be dealing with having marketing issues, right? Or struggling with marketing, spending tons of money on marketing, not getting it to work, wondering why, you know, it's not coming across in a great way, but instead not having any of those issues. And it's really about just supply and demand. The business is coming in faster than you can take it.
Something is always happening. That's the thing.
Something is right. Exactly. Something is always going to happen. So it really becomes less about being perfect and more about, I want to be ready to be nimble, you know, ready for whatever happens to be able to adjust.
Yeah.
I love that. What's next for Touchland?
A lot of things, because again, I think last year the experience was that we were extinguishing fires all the time, and we have a very solid team, very strategic. So we kind of postpone everything to this, to 2021, like new product launches, new Essence, new products, like everything to this year, new partnerships, which we are very excited. And the team is growing, which again, for someone that started in Barcelona, backpack, moved here, like see this family growing. And again, like with the same passion that you have for this baby called Touchland, I think it's what's most fulfilling. So there are a lot of things happening this year that we unfortunately couldn't do last year because it was just complete madness, but hopefully we will see coming to a reality this year.
Yeah, no, that's so good. And I think patience is key. You know, it's just, hey, take what's given to you, take that pitch in a baseball term. Like, you know, if he gives you a curveball, take the curveball. If he gives you a fastball, take the fastball. And, you know, even in my own business, I think that was a big part of this year, from, you know, some of our team members moving on to different companies to, you know, I was working on my speaking, you know, that was growing, being able to travel around and speak on Amazon and you know, growing in that circuit. And then the pandemic just changing things, you know, the podcast was a big avenue for me and joining the Startup Hustle team and being able to, you know, meet new brands, meet new people, meet new colleagues, meet other entrepreneurs and be able to put out content and engage with people that I was really using kind of my speaking and these conferences as a way to do that. That was taken from me and another opportunity came, you know,
yeah.
So it's just taking, you know, taking what happens to you and making the best of it. Okay. So, you know, just a couple, I want to kind of timeline this. So you're 2 years in, you know, they say that year three is like one of the hardest, or once you're past year three, like your chances for success greatly grow. I kind of learned that at a accelerator I was at early 2020. And I was like, wow, I guess, okay, I guess, because I'm in year, going on year seven. I was like, oh, wow, I guess I made it past year three. But I think year one and year two are hard. Year three is just as hard, you know, but I think the space you're in now, it's really how much do you grow, not if you grow, right? And,
exactly.
You know, how to manage that. How big is your team? Is it just you?
No, right now we are about 40 people. Yeah, okay. We're hiring very fast, yeah.
Awesome. So it's grown really fast. I know, like, you know, scaling is obviously the hardest thing. Even my own team, we're at 13 of us now, and it's all new challenges. I'm a great entrepreneur, doesn't mean you're a great manager, doesn't mean you're a great leader, doesn't mean you're a good, you know, boss. And so, you know, you have these different, you need to communicate differently. You need to have more systems in your business and all of those kinds of things. You're in a sweet spot. It's going to be fun to watch your brand and, you know, see what's next.
Yeah, I think like, if you want to count when we move here, but for me, it's year 11 since we started this process. So, but it's been a great learning experience. And I think right now it's all about like setting up a good team. Like we have a good product, but I'm someone that never falls asleep. You can never get comfortable. Like, yes, we are being seen as the apples in this industry. But again, it's an industry that is getting super competitive. We're lucky enough that people, again, is buying because of the brand, not the product. They really love the vision, the mission that we put into like these years of work. But again, you cannot fall asleep. And that's why you have to be always innovating. You have to be always communicating. You have to always be marketing in the right way. But again, it's all about the team. That's what I'm most excited about, like to put like a very strong, solid team. Because again, as much as you are a leader, it's always teamwork. Like, and I started Touch when I was 24 years old. So I never had the chance to learn from anyone. And that's good. And that's scary at the same time, because I've never had the chance to see how do you grow? How do leaders lead? How do bosses manage? Like and it's been auto learning experience. And again, we will know in a few years from now if we really hit the goal and we become the Apples, the Nespressos, the Dysons in the personal care space, which we look forward to.
I think you will be, and I'm excited to see the journey. You know, I think one big part of 2020 is I know that my team, we really bonded together through 2020, you know, the influx in clients sometimes that just came in all at once, you know, cursing at Amazon about a bunch of different things, you know, for a long time, we weren't working together in the office. So everything was remote, and being able to see the team get excited about coming back together and working together as a young entrepreneur myself, it was exciting to feel like the team felt like a team. You know, and, you know, we were excited to build and grow. And I think that's one of the best things that's come out of 2020 is I would just like to harp on that is the team, you know, the team aspect, at least in my company, the camaraderie we have of making it through that. And we're on the other, you know, we're kind of on the other side a little bit as far as the real fear and the real impact. And now it's just like, you know, whatever comes next feels like we'll be able to do it together.
Yeah. It's been finally a year that although everyone has been separated, I think like it's been able also for people to appreciate, to be able to build on this distance, like stronger bonds and be able to communicate better, be able to work better, even if we've been separated in the distance. Like my whole team, like we have like obviously our headquarters in Miami, but we have team in Boston, Oklahoma, LA, New York. So everywhere in the US, and if you think about it, like you spend most of the day in front of a computer with a camera on, but it's been what I was very afraid about this, like how do I lead in the distance? How do you do that? Like how do you build a team and like that feeling of a team when everyone is just separated? But it's been great, and we've been finding ways and tools and set up recurrent meetings with the team that it really made us go through the year in an exit with a stronger than where we started in 2020.
Yeah, it made us focus on teams. I think the remote work allowed us to like, we're all like, oh my God, how are we going to manage employees? How are we all going to communicate? And because of that, we put our attention on the team to make sure we stayed like a team. And because of that, the teams have gotten a lot stronger.
Exactly.
You know, speaking of teams, I think it's a great segue to mention our sponsor, Fullscale.io, helping you build a software team quickly and affordably. If you have software needs, Fullscale.io is the place to go. You know, as we wrap up the show, I'd love to just backpedal just a little bit to, you know, your comment on being on your own and not really having a leader, you know, to mentor you or to look up to or learn from. You know, to anyone listening that's kind of a young leader and thinking about the same, I could agree to that. I had some leaders in my life in regards to like religious leaders and some things like that, you know, but it wasn't in business. It wasn't in managing people really at that level. And I think I learned more from bad managers and bad leaders when I did step into the workforce than I ever did from a good one. At least in my early years, it was, you know, the things that made me not want to go to work, kind of like the things that make you not want to wash your hands or, you know, do any of the, like, you know, if it's making your hands raw, like, I don't want to go to work. And it's not even about the work. It's about employee X or, you know, these other kind of things going on. Why do we have a team built up of people that don't like each other? That never made sense to me. Choose differently, you know, yeah. Simple things like that. And then it was a mixture of finding a mentor after I was, you know, several years in, and a lot of reading and podcasts, and just, you know, a lot of it's trial and error. And it's not about beating yourself up if you make the wrong decision on a person, you know, or a decision with a client or a managerial technique. It's just about continuing to grow. And for me, it's about, you know, communication with my team. So yeah. I think that's the thing I'm focusing on as a young leader is just not just the basics of a communication, but, you know, really trying to figure out what motivates them, you know, what's going on, dig into them. No one's going to just, like, you know, come and bitch to their boss and just tell you everything that's going on. So you got to kind of probe and see how people are at a different level than we have before. And it's one thing that I've really learned from, I have a partner in another business, Brian Glasser, and he was a captain in the military for 7 years. And we have completely different experiences in regards to having good leaders. I think he had some really good ones above him, you know, kind of in his career. And we talk about that a lot. And, you know, one of his roles as a captain, when I think he had 250 soldiers under him, was to meet every single one of them, do an in-home visit. You don't really know about, he needed to know about their lives, their hygiene, their finances, you know, no leverage, essentially. No soldiers could have leverage on them. And so the captain was responsible for that. And that's a silly story, but I really bring it up to just talk about the importance of being involved in your people's lives and knowing what's going on.
And listening.
Yes, exactly. Asking if they're not talkers, then you need to, you know, have better questions. You know, to get the answers that you need to really know if they're, you know, they're happy where they're at, they're doing well. And because if you spend your time and your attention on them, they're going to spend the time on the business and everybody wins.
Yeah. And they have to fight for your vision and they have to share your vision. So you have to connect with them. And I think, like, for me, I'm not the kind of leader that just impose. Like, if I hire someone, it's because I think they can add value. And for that reason, I have to listen. And it's been a very conversational, collaborative approach. And I really like it because it's not a company that you cannot get an opposite opinion to me. I think, like, that's what gets companies to be better, like different opinions and people not having fear to hide their thoughts. And it's been working really, really good for us to have this kind of collaborative approach. We try not to have departments in a sense that everyone helps each other. Like, again, sometimes companies separate departments and compartmentalize those departments. And sometimes by working together, the company grows faster. So it's been good. Like, again, like, we pass from like 3 people to 14 people next year. Most probably it's going to be double that. So it's always challenging and scary. Like, where do you lose contact? Like, I'm a person that really likes to build a relationship with everyone, but it gets to a point that my day right now, in between the meetings, emails, and all of that, like, I cannot have the same connection or the same dedication that I had when we were 3, then we were 14. And that's very unfortunate, but you have to just make sure that you connect with everyone.
Yeah, exactly. And that's exactly what I guess what I was trying to say is I went from 3 to 13, one in Colorado, 12 here. And it was a big difference from talking to them sitting next to each other to, you know, communicating between different teams. And we tried to take that approach where we didn't make it, you know, compartmentalized, from, you know, an open work environment to, you know, empowering leadership to everyone has, you know, accountability for every part of the process. We're there to back each other up. And, you know, trying to create that culture as a leader has been, you know, something very important to me. And there's not really a roadmap for it. You just got to, you know, kind of figure it out as you go. I'm super excited for you guys. I'm rooting for you. I want to see the growth. Where can people, before we sign off, where can people find you, you know, on social media? You said TikTok. I think some of that was breaking up a little bit. You know, where can people engage with the brand?
Yeah, in Instagram and TikTok and Twitter, it's with at Touchland as a word. And they can find us there and hopefully awesome. Follow us.
Well, I'm going to follow you as well. I'm going to keep track of your guys' growth, and I'm rooting for you guys.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome. Thanks again for being on the show. We'll see you next time.
Thank you.
Startup Hustle's brought to you by Fullscale.io, helping you build a software team quickly and affordably. Make sure you reach down and hit that subscribe button, then come find us on Instagram. See you next time. We do it.